Why did Georgetown change its MBA essay questions to allow you to highlight what's best about you? Let's find out much more about Georgetown MBA program from the Interim Associate Dean for Admissions at the Georgetown McDonough School of Business. Welcome to the 277th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. The show is brought to you by Accepted's free guide, Top MBA Essay Questions, How to Answer Them Right. This collection of Accepted's MBA essay tips, organized by school and application, will give you food for thought and fuel for outstanding MBA essays. You can download this valuable guide at accepted.com/MBA essay tips. I'd like now to introduce today's guest, Shelley Heinrich, Interim Associate Dean for the Georgetown McDonough School of Business. Shelley earned her bachelor's in business at Texas Christian, her master's in educational administration at UT Austin, and her executive MBA at Georgetown. She worked at George Washington University for 4 years and then moved to Georgetown's admissions office in May 2014. She became assistant dean for marketing, recruitment, and external relations in July 2017 and interim associate dean for MBA admissions and director of marketing in September 2017. Shelley, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you so much. I look forward to today.
Great. Glad to have you. Now, can you give us an overview of the full-time MBA program at Georgetown, focusing on its more distinctive features?
Yeah, wonderful. So our full-time MBA at Georgetown, we really feel equips principal leaders that have a global mindset to serve both business and society. So by design, you know, we provide a strong business core in areas of finance, accounting, marketing, strategy, management, operations, information management. So students are going to spend their first year in a core really getting a wide breadth of understanding about business. And then they're able to spend really just over a year, their second year and a little bit of their first year, customizing then the program and their interests, choosing from over 100 electives and not having to declare a concentration. And so it really allows students to get a full picture of business, but also gain a little bit deeper understanding and experience in some of those areas that they really like. Additionally, all of our students are required to participate in a global consulting experience. They will work for about 6 to 8 weeks here in DC with a team and an international client, and they're solving a problem. They're solving a scope of work for that client. And then the project ends with them going overseas to present the final consulting recommendation to the client. And these are big, big brands with real world problems. And because our program is so focused on global, we make it international as a part of it. I think the three things that are distinctive about Georgetown are its focus on global. With an example I just provided, we have 40 countries represented in the program. Our Washington, D.C. location at the intersection of, you know, kind of business and society. And our aim really to focus on developing principled leaders with our Jesuit heritage.
Okay. Now, specifically, you just mentioned the Washington location. And you I don't know if it's the intersection of business and society, but it certainly is an intersection of business and government. Mm-hmm. How do Georgetown students really take advantage of that?
No, yeah, I think Washington, D.C. is a fantastic city. I'm originally from Texas, but I've lived in D.C. now for 10 years. And you really feel that you're at the center of it all, you know, the center of business and society and politics. And our goal is to allow students to use it as a learning lab, to be able to leverage the different professional associations, organizations, alumni, and employers in the DC area. And so a couple of ways that we do that. Actually brand new this year, we added a new class to our leadership curriculum. Our leadership curriculum composes of four classes. So this one class is called Managing the Enterprise. And we are working with a very prominent organization in DC. We'll be releasing a press release soon about it, so stay tuned.
Okay. I'll watch out for it.
A very well-known organization in DC that our students will be working hands-on with. And they'll be tackling the problems of leadership and people and solving a problem for this organization. And this is during their second year of the program. So they already have a little bit of tools in their toolkit, and Now they're able to apply them. So we're really excited. The class just started last week. And so we'll be excited to results.
It's going to be like a consulting project for them?
It will. And it's a part of the class. And so one of the things, you know, we are really doing is saying, okay, you can't teach leadership in a lecture, right? Like, you can, there are some elements that you should learn, but we really need to be out there practicing it. And so this new course, Managing the Enterprise, will allow for that.
Great.
A couple of other areas that we're using the DC location. So we have a certificate in non-market strategy. And that is basically for people that want to learn at the intersection of business, society, and politics. And so there's a certain level of classes that students have to take and certain activities in the DC area that they are required to go to in order to receive that certificate. And then finally, we have opportunities through academic tutorials where students can gain academic credit for creating and working on a project with local organizations. The World Bank being one that is a repeat partner of ours. Many students every year go to work and solve problems for the World Bank. So a lot of different ways that we leverage our DC location as part of the MBA experience.
Great. And does it carry over into career placement? I mean, the World Bank, for example, if somebody says they're interested in working for the World Bank or a development organization, do Georgetown grads tend to get jobs in those fields?
You know, there are students that do, but you know, at the core, we are a traditional business school. We do have a fantastic McCourt School of Public Policy, but you know, Georgetown McDonough is a traditional business school, and so when you actually look at our career placement, only about 2% of our students this last year went into a government job, and about 7% went into a nonprofit. So yes, they do, and we certainly have great partnerships to allow for that. But at the end of the day, most of our students are going into consulting and finance and technology with the major brands.
Now, you mentioned the international focus of the Georgetown MBA. Mm-hmm. How does that play out in terms of placement? And you know, I mean, you mentioned that they have to do a global project and they present internationally. Mm-hmm. How does that, you know, work in terms of final results and benefits?
Yeah, so I think one, because of our location in a very global city, as well as our focus on global, which I can go into more detail, we produce students that are interested, or we graduate students, I should say, that are interested in working in companies that are multinational and that aren't interested in working in isolation of a certain country, but realize the benefits of being able to have the skills to work across borders. And so, you know, how does this play out? Well, our program is bookended with two very global experiences. I mentioned one, the global consulting experience, which is at the end. But The very first 3 weeks of our full-time program is in a very intense, immersive experience called the Structure of Global Industries, where students come fresh from orientation, you know, they haven't even met one another, and they are thrown into this project where they have to solve a mock problem for a mock client. And throughout the 3 weeks, they learn from various professors in different disciplines. They kind of get the tip of the iceberg of various business disciplines that will allow them to solve this problem before they've even been to business school. And then at the end, they have presentations. And I think what it results in is it allows people to say, okay, this is something I want to learn more about. You know, I heard from, okay, this marketing professor, I want to dig deeper into this. Or I heard from this economics professor, or this statistics professor, I want to dig into more of that. So it gives people an idea of what they don't know and want to know, and perhaps things they never knew that they were interested in.
It would be a very exciting way to start almost getting everybody a taste
Yep.
of what's to come.
Definitely. We also attract a very global population. So even with a small class size of about 270 students, we have close to 40 countries represented. So, you know, I think it's a fantastic way to for other students to be exposed to different countries. About three-fourths of our students have lived, worked, or studied abroad. So that's not just domestic students who have lived, worked, or studied abroad. That is, you know, a student coming from Taiwan who has lived, worked, or studied abroad outside of his or her home country. So just by nature of who's in the classroom, it's a very global conversation.
Okay. And what are the strengths of McDonough other than, you know, public policy and international development kind of work? What should I think of when I hear the name McDonough?
I mentioned the kind of the strong core.
The multinational.
The strong core of students having to take a year in various disciplines. And having recently completed the executive MBA myself, I realized the benefit of having to take, you know, economics with finance, with accounting, with marketing, with strategy, because at the end of the day, they all start to kind of come together, and it builds this picture and understanding of business so that you have a broader perspective once you select your industry that you plan to go into. So I think the core is strong. I also think the hands-on components of our program allow students to really practice what they're learning. So, you know, students, when we think of their time, a third of their time should be spent in the classroom. A third should be engaging in our career-related activities, and a third should be in hands-on leadership activities. And so we have, you know, various certificates people can receive in addition to their MBA. We have a very strong opportunity for students to get hands-on leadership experience. And what do I mean by that? Our class size is 270. We have 350 board positions.
Oh, wow.
Students can run for. What's okay. A board position? It's like president of the consulting club or vice president of career for the finance club.
Right.
And so when students are having to compete, not just with McDonough MBAs, but with all other MBAs who are graduating, they can say, look, I've also held this leadership position. I've made an impact in my school, and this is how I've practiced and really had hands-on leadership.
So. Okay. Let's turn to the application itself. Mm-hmm. Just a very basic question. McDonough, like many business schools, accepts both the GMAT and the GRE. How do you advise applicants to choose between the two exams? Who should take one? Who should take the other?
Yeah, you know, that's always a tough question. And it's a personal discussion and question for the applicant. There are certain industries that should they want to pursue, maybe like investment banking or some of the top consulting firms, I think that would prefer to see a GMAT. And so if candidates are looking in that direction, it's probably in their best interest. And then for the GRE, I think some students, when they are maybe 3 or 4 years out from considering what type of graduate degree they want, if a student wants flexibility to think, okay, maybe I want to do an MBA, or maybe I'm going to go into public policy, or maybe I want to do another specialized master's, then a GRE can provide them a little bit of flexibility later on. We also have candidates that take both. Maybe they do better on one than another because it's just a different testing style. And okay. So, you know, they're equally evaluated and equally looked upon in the admissions committee. So it is a personal decision.
Okay. So you don't. There's no preference on.
There's no preference. What we do recommend is taking the exam more than once. You know, you really, the first time it's all new, you're likely a little stressed. And so do it once and then perhaps take a few weeks break and, you know, try it again. And statistically, you're likely going to do better the second time. We don't recommend taking it more than 3 times because you likely won't do better after that. But 2 times, I think, is in your best interest.
Okay, great advice. Thank you. Now, you've made some interesting changes to the Georgetown application this year. Mm-hmm. What prompted the changes?
Yeah, you know, we as we kind of sat back and reflected this year on who we really want in the classroom, the resounding theme and comments from people were, we want a diverse classroom. We want diverse thoughts and ideas and experiences and backgrounds. And we want the best of those. And we found that in asking one essay question, we often got very, I would say, similar responses. I mean, obviously different nuances, different people, but fairly, you know, similar in a way. And we started to think, are we allowing people to write an essay that allows them to select the experience and customize the experience that they think best highlights them? Or are they being kind of forced to choose how to answer the question based on what they think we want to hear? And so we said, look, we want to allow people to choose an essay that allows them to highlight what is best about them and what is going to make them the most competitive applicant. So then we decided, okay, we're going to offer three different essay options, and a candidate can choose one, choose the best one for them. And we tried to make them a little different. You know, one of them focuses more on kind of leadership and in the current. One of them focuses a little bit more on self-awareness and overcoming challenges. And one of them focuses more on values and beliefs. And so we're really excited to see the level of diversity that we're that we will receive in the applicants, and giving them the freedom to really customize what's best about them.
Okay, so that's the reason behind allowing them choices. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of the video essay?
Yeah, I love the video essay. So we started it a few years ago.
You know, most of the schools that have them love them. I'm not sure the applicants love them so much, but the schools love them.
Yeah, I think there's many different uses that we've found for it.
Okay.
One is that, you know, not everyone at McDonough gets to interview with more than one person, right? You only have one interviewer. That interviewer could be a mission staff member, a career center, a student, an alumni. But there's many people on the admissions committee. And so if you are a candidate that does extraordinarily well in the interview, only one person gets to see it. And so that person then is responsible for going to admissions committee and trying to recreate how wonderful you did in the interview.
Yeah.
And with the video, typically your similar personality is going to show up in the video. And so with the video, we can say, look how fantastic this person presents. Look at some of, you know, the great qualities that they would bring to the classroom. So I think that's one. It's a benefit to the applicant. The other is, you know, I've in my, you know, 8-9 years of working in admissions, there are some times where you will have a fantastic candidate. Everything about them on paper is amazing. And perhaps they just have a bad day with interviewing. They just don't do well. And we've all had those experiences probably personally.
Sure.
And so this gives us a chance to give them another opportunity to perhaps to prove themselves, or if they had a bad day or had a bad connection with the interview, that's not the only face-to-face interaction that they get with us. So
does it also allow you to assess presence, assess fluency in English?
It does, definitely. So we assess executive presence. We assess their energy. We assess their level of English ability. It's a recording. So they can record it as many times as they want that they feel comfortable, and then submit it. But yes, all of those things. It also allows us to, you know, there's some people that they're first out of the gate. They're one of our first couple of interviews, and then we'll interview hundreds after that. And so when it gets time to kind of admissions committee, it does allow us to go back and recall perhaps how great they were.
Right. And now you still interview in addition to the video, right?
Correct. Yes. So we interview on campus, or we will travel to specific cities to interview, or we have large applicant bases, or we offer Skype interviews as well.
Okay. And I guess that just gives you additional information, but it doesn't give you the ability to share the experience, if you will. And the interviews are with admission staff or with alumni or students or?
Definitely. So admission staff will interview. We also, in some cases, have our career center staff interview because very much, you know, part of that component is the career ROI. And then we have our highly selected student leaders that we'll interview. So we even have an entire interview selection process for our student interviewers, as well as key alumni who are very involved and are great representatives of the program. They're all weighted equally, and we do rigorous, you know, training for interviews as well. And so students could expect to be interviewed with any one of those people.
Okay, great. Now, Georgetown also offers an optional interview, an optional essay rather, where it says, please provide any information you would like to add to your application that you have not otherwise included. And there's up to 500 words for that. Now, is that as wide open as it seems, or is it more along the lines of a more traditional optional, which is there to provide context, you know, to a bad semester, or some low grades, or a gap in employment? How do you want that essay to be used?
Yeah, that's wonderful. So it's not meant to be another essay. So I think what we don't want is people to take an essay that they've submitted to another school that maybe they thought was fantastic and say, okay, I want to like copy and paste that just so they can see how great this essay was.
Right.
and we do get that. And that's not what
I'm sure.
This is meant to clarify perhaps any gaps that were in their application or any perceived weaknesses that the admissions committee might have in their application. So for example, if you have greater than 3 months of a gap in your work experience, we want you to explain it. You know, perhaps you were a part of the 2008 financial crisis and unfortunately maybe you were laid off. Okay, you know, we realize that that happens. We're not necessarily going to ding you for that, but we want to know during that time, how did you work to continue to improve yourself? And did you take classes? Did you gain a certificate in Excel? Did you volunteer? You know, so how are you a productive member of society and bettering your also professional profile? Perhaps, you know, there were areas in undergrad where you didn't do so well. Maybe it was because you were supporting a family member. Maybe it was because you had a medical illness. You know, we don't know those type of things by looking at your transcript. And we need to understand that to be able to put context to your application, to your transcript. If you leave the admissions committee to create our own answers, we will create our own answers. So it's better for you to just go ahead and provide that information so we don't have to guess.
Okay, great. When you go through an application, when you're reviewing an application and assessing, evaluate an application, how do you go through it? What do you start with? How do you go through it?
Yeah, definitely. So I think looking initially at the basic facts of the application, so where are they from? How many years of work experience? Where did they go to undergrad? What was their GPA? What was their major? What's their work history? Both the companies that they worked at, as well as the duration at each of the companies, and then
trajectory.
What are their trajectory? Their grades on their transcript, and then what are their short-term and long-term goals? And do their work experiences make sense? Does it seem like it makes sense? And if it doesn't make sense, then we're going to be then digging into the essay and then an interview to see how they're going to make that transition. So we look at kind of the statistics first or the numbers first, and then start to dig into the story of who they are, how they round out those numbers. And we gain that through the essays, both written and video. We gain that through the recommendation letter. What I love is reading an entire application and then going to their recommendation letter. And it almost, you know, it almost confirms or supports what I thought of them. And then last is also the interview, which is very important because that I think determines fit and how they're going to become a part of our lifelong community as alumni as well.
What gets you, I mean, you mentioned something or just a minute ago that gets you excited about an applicant, but what else gets you positively excited about an applicant?
Yeah, you know, We interview a lot of people, right? And you work in admissions long enough, and you've interviewed, you know, hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of people. And so what I love are people that, I love many different types of interviews, but one that stands out are people that have an infectious enthusiasm for Georgetown, where I come out of the interview with them and it makes me more excited to work here. I love Georgetown and working here, but there are some people that remind me why I love it. And so I think, and that has to be authentic. And so you can really tell an applicant who, you know, we are their number one choice, and we like that, right? Because they're going to be the cheerleaders for the school. They're going to be the alumni that are the leaders. So that's great. I also love the people who have kind of this, you can tell when they are overly prepared. And that seems so simple, but I think most people moderately prepare for interviews.
I would hope so.
But you can tell the people that are in the top 10% who have thought through why both the MBA as well as our experience and it is going to allow them to achieve their goals. And they've almost created the steps of how it's going to happen. And so they've convinced us as well as themselves that this is the right partnership for them and the right school. And so I love those people that have taken the extra mile, and we can definitely see it.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's one of when I do webinars frequently, and I'll talk about how important a post MBA goal is. And I sometimes ask the applicants, why do you think the schools care? You know, why is that important? Not all graduate schools, most graduate schools do care, but not all. Why is it important? Right. And then, you know, sometimes they'll come up with some interesting answers, but a lot of them don't get it. I mean, it's not something that is apparently intuitive to all.
Right.
And, you know, it boils down to, I think the schools want to know that they can help their students succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't know what they want, how they would define success,
right,
then the schools can't tell that.
Right. And you know, you can, you know, I've interviewed people before where I say, you know, I can tell you this person is going to come in and be the president of our student government, or this person is going to come in and they're going to make change. They're going to find something that they want to improve. And those are the students I think that really thrive here.
And those are the students you get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, your round one deadline is coming up October 9th.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you have for applicants? They're probably still writing essays now. My guess is that most applicants to Georgetown would be still writing, or maybe not yet started, but we're not going to talk about that right now. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, I think so. We're about a month out, and a student is going to do best on their application if they are very well informed about our program. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean just having memorized our website. I mean having connected with an alum, perhaps, that works in the same company that they do or in the same city, that is connected with a student, one of our student ambassadors, or the student leaders of our clubs. That has listened to podcasts, that has reviewed blog entries, because the more that you research, the more that you become, and the more that you talk to people, the more that you become convinced, perhaps, that this is the right place for you. And then that information bleeds through in your application. You know, it comes through in your essays and your interview, and you're able to tailor all of what you're putting in your application to everything that you've learned. You'll be able to use words and phrases and examples. And so I would say spend, you know, the next couple of weeks really immersing yourself in everything that we have at Georgetown. If you can't come to campus, we have, you know, there's a lot of virtual ways to get to know us. Certainly, though, we invite you to come to campus and come to a class, meet with students in person. So get to know us, and then spend those final couple of weeks really taking everything you've learned and putting it into a fantastic application.
Sounds good. And sounds like that would apply also to people applying later also.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. Now, I got a press release this week from Georgetown, basically saying that, you know, touting the strengths of your incoming class, both for the full-time and the evening MBA classes, and specifically the fact that you've achieved a record, I guess, for average GMAT scores for your incoming class. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're very excited. So we have the highest GMAT of our incoming class that we have had at Georgetown. And also for our evening MBA class, we were able to increase the GMAT by 20 points. And so it's a very strong class, which we're very excited about. In our evening program, we have the highest record of females that we have on record. And I have records going back about 5 or 6 years. So on record, you know, the highest percentage of females. You know, the largest consortium class that we've ever had in our full-time program.
Okay.
So that's exciting. We have 31 students incoming for the consortium.
That's a lot. Group. That's over 10% of your class.
Yeah. So, and, you know, more diversity in terms of regions. We had actually less people come from Mid-Atlantic and more people coming from Midwest and South and Northeast. So, you know, just a lot of things to be excited about.
That's great. Any last words of advice for MBA applicants considering Georgetown?
Yeah, I think if students want a program that really transcends global boundaries, that is going to equip them with being a global leader, if students want, you know, a brand equity and a brand that that resonates in every part of the world, a small class size that allows them to really thrive and find a place for themselves, and an alumni network that really operates on the motto of Hoyas helping Hoyas. I think those are students that we want at Georgetown, and I think that are going to really do well here. So good luck to you. It's a rigorous process that you're going through right now to apply. But all of a sudden you'll be here in orientation, and then you'll be in your internship, and then you'll be graduating. Time flies so fast, but yes, you will graduate and not regret your decision. You will create a path for your life and your career that you never thought was possible. And we really hope that you choose Georgetown, because we'd love to take the journey with you.
Okay. Sounds good. Shelley, I think we could keep going on for a while, but you've been very generous with your time, and I don't want to impose further. Where can listeners and potential MBA applicants learn more about Georgetown McDonough's MBA programs?
Yeah, we'd love for you to attend any of our upcoming on-campus events, our diversity events, any of our online events, or visit us on our website. But most of all, we hope to meet you in person.
Okay. We'll include links in the show notes at accepted.com/277 to the Georgetown MBA website, as well as to other resources of interest to Georgetown McDonough MBA applicants. One last reminder from our sponsor, Accepted's free guide, Top MBA Essay Questions, How to Answer Them Right. Download this valuable guide at accepted.com/MBA Essay Tips. Listener, thank you too for joining Shelley Heinrich and me for our 277th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please share the good vibes by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so will help us spread the word about Admission Straight Talk. There's a link in the show notes at accepted.com/277 to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.